Radio.
It's time to get stuffed. She's the queen of mean, she can't be tamed. Larger than life with a tiny frame. Sit back, relax, and loosen up. It's Lisa Lampanelli and you're gonna get stuffed.
Lisa Lampanelli.
Well, hello, one and all. It's Lisa Lampanelli on Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli with, I'm not even going to say an insult before his name, the untalented Mike Morse.
Wait, I'm...
But that's like a title.
Oh, well, all right. So it's capitalized.
Yeah. As long as it gives you a capital U. How about we give you a U with an umlaut and a capitalization and a little tilde?
So it's my personal Pocahontas.
I think so. I don't know what that means, but he's been watching too much Disney and Lasseter.
Yes.
Does Lasseter have to do with Disney?
No, it has nothing to do with it.
Okay, then forget it. I don't care. And I'm not even going to have Jim cut that out. Because guess what? I'm ignorant and I don't care. And you know why I'm ignorant? Because I don't care.
That's a good combination.
It is. Guess what I care about? Me. And that's what we're going to talk about today is Lisa Lampanelli. Mike, guess what I've been doing for the last week?
Watching Walking Dead.
I have. I'm season two. I'm just about where Shane's going to die, which I only know that because
thanks
I heard
for spoiler.
It.
Well, okay.
If you haven't watched season two by now, you deserve to die yourself in a bloody zombie attack. But I have been doing effing nothing, and I'll tell you why. I just recently, about a month ago, finished my run of Stuffed. Here's the thing, Mike. Guess what I want to do? Nothing!
Nothing.
People say to me, Lisa, what's next? And that's why I decided to do this episode of the podcast about what's next in people's lives and people moving on and doing different things. Because honestly, Mike, I decided what I want to do. Fucking nothing. People don't understand. I'm 56 years old. I have worked in jobs since I was 16. That's 40 years.
That's 40 years.
Cousin Ed's Hot Dog House to the big time of the off-Broadway and the comedy stage.
And that plate has taken up 6 years?
Yes. And it's taken a lot of my soul. No, it didn't. It just took a lot of work. And I'm like, why do I have to accomplish anything else? Is there a law that says I have to keep going?
No.
Well. My accountant might beg to differ, so I'll have to still do comedy. However, I'm dialing it back for the next couple months just to figure out what comes up. I know it sounds super queer to people, but we are on the health sort of spectrum here. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean the spectrum in Asperger's or whatever that thing, autism. We are on the spectrum of health in the podcast world. So, yeah. I want to see what evolves for me, what comes up in the next 2 months, because I have literally from today until February 3rd with nothing on the books. And some people like Joan Rivers, God rest her soul, would have been scared about that. I am thrilled to death because I don't want to do anything. Do you think that's weird?
Well, you've always been a workaholic since I've known you.
Right.
It's always been nonstop, bang, bang, bang. I don't think you're going to last the 2 months. I think you're going to fall into something.
Well, listen, here's the question. Is falling into seven seasons back-to-back of The Walking Dead something, or is this just occupying my mind with something so I don't have to focus on what's really in my heart? Asking someone completely unaware psychologically, what do you think?
Yes. No, I think it is. I think you've taken, you've seen, wow, look at, there's how many, eight seasons now, seven seasons of Walking Dead. Now I have an excuse to do that because I started. Once I start,
you have to finish,
you see Rick shoot the little girl zombie, you got to see what happens after that.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah. And then you took it and ran with it. So now you channeled all your emotions and goals into finishing that.
Right. So then you think once The Walking Dead's over, if I don't pick another show, like say The Americans,
Breaking Bad,
that I should probably see what comes up internally.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Otherwise, you end up like Howard Hughes in here. You're huddled in your apartment
with shoeboxes on your nails, which is super gross on a guy, but super cute on a girl.
Yeah, absolutely.
But here's the thing: since Parker, stop! Oh my God! See, he just by his little yelp reminded me. This is what I did before I got obsessed with this Walking Dead. What I did was I said, I'm going to do something. Let me see what internally comes out while I'm not obsessed with a TV show. And I looked up on my website. I go, you know what I bet part of my calling is to be of service and use my dog in order to help people. So I went on this website called volunteermatch.org because what do I have got to do for 2 months? I said, let me get Parker certified to go and look at old people. Now, I don't know if looking at old people is something he wants to do, but it'll make me feel better about him and myself because Parker's a drain on society. And so am I. If we're not doing something, if we're not going and sitting with the elderly and letting them pet him with their old, frail, gnarled hands and knuckles, if their rheumatoid arthritis ridden bones aren't thrilled by a little dog, that's crazy. But here's the idea. I see all the things on it. Then they send me the forms to fill out for these volunteer opportunities. And it's very lengthy. Mm-hmm. You have to get blood tests. You have to do all this. Oh, what are these people near death? What are they, zombies? Oh, my God. It's all back to The Walking Dead. Yeah. But I said, okay, now comes the step of not only searching for the opportunities to do good, but actually doing it, which is really hard.
That's the hard part.
Right. Filling out forms and actually taking the dog to be trained, because believe it or not, they don't want an untrained dog dealing with their elderly patients. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. You don't want him biting off the face of, you know, old Aunt Gertrude.
I mean, you don't?
No. Well, it's not if you're Aunt Gertrude's kids.
Maybe you are, because Aunt Gertrude might be leaving you a fortune. You can't wait till she bye-bye.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, listen, what do you see? What are you getting out of this? You're getting a dog that smells like mothballs and
formaldehyde, potentially. Yeah. Well, I think what it is I'm looking for something to probably feel as good as the play felt to me. Mm-hmm. Now, the theater is very, very collaborative. I don't like that. Mm-hmm. I kind of like working by myself. So I don't know if another play is what I want to do. So I want to feel something that emotionally fulfills me. So the question is, what is that? There's only so many game nights you could do with your mother before you kill her. There's only so many table talk pies you could buy for your mother before you eat them all yourself and gain all your weight back from your surgery that you happen to not freaking gain back yet, but you will if you don't find something meaningful in your life. So the question is, how do you move on and make your life meaningful, even if it's small? Mm. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you don't care that your life's meaningless. How do you manage it?
I watch Walking Dead.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank God I'm very poor, so it's a constant struggle just to survive.
See, I do have an embarrassment of wealth.
Yes.
No, but when you do, I think that's a pressure too. When you do somewhat have some money, even though I'm not mad rich, you're like, I'm not just going to sit around and not help anyone. Mm-hmm. Like, would that really be a good thing?
No.
It's a really self-centered. So I never really kind of look online and go, what trips can I take? What can I do? I'm no saint, believe me. But I don't feel as if anything's going to feel as good as the play did unless it's about some kind of service to other people. Mm-hmm. Now, these changes are difficult. People out there, I'm sure you deal with them all the time where you're like, oh, I want to change this job. I want to move. I want to do that. And fear holds you back. Hey, fear's holding me back from getting my goddamn dog trained to not bite an old person's face off. But however, if I'm not to have a zombie dog who eats the innards of other people, I have to figure this out. Do you understand what I'm saying,
yes,
Mike?
And you have 2 months to do it.
I have 2 months. Well, yeah, 2 months to figure it out. Then I have to do some comedy. But also, this stuff can be things that I do while I do comedy. Hmm. Mike, let's admit it. We can do comedy in our sleep. And you can't, because no one will let you do comedy. But it's like, basically, it's a no-brainer. It's fun. You get up there. You work 2 days a week at the most. And the other days, you can freaking do something that has a little more meaning in your life. Because I don't know if I have so much to say comedically anymore. I want to have experiences and then make fun of it.
There you go.
So here we go, Mike. Lisa has a 2 month journey. Now, other than this sort of path I think and believe I'm on, this transition, do you think there are other things I could do? Like, because occasionally I think to myself, oh my God, maybe there's a job out there that even if it's menial and pays in a goofy, terrible way, it'd still be fun for me. Like, I've occasionally had the idea that I should be a customer service rep for a phone company because I hate when my phone goes out. So I could help those people and I could take being yelled at. You know, but then the problem is you're not supposed to yell back. So then I go, maybe that's not for me. So, I mean, have other celebrities gone through this? I mean, I don't know. I asked my manager, like, what should I explore? And she don't know. She said, I don't know. She said, hey, you're supposed to be doing comedy. What are you, a freaking retard? Yeah, well, she didn't say retard.
She's got bills to pay, too.
Yeah, that's true, too. They're all in it for the money. Damn it, not you, well, baby. Here, I'm just kidding.
So here's what you should do. And I'm going to copyright this over the air because I'm sure that's a legal thing. is that what you should do is pitch a show and get a show, which is easy, you know, on the television set of, you know, Lisa Lampanelli does a new job every week. Just, you know.
Listen, Wanda Sykes did it.
Oh, did she?
They said Wanda does it all or something.
All right.
And it's always the blacks get to it before the whites do.
Affirmative action.
No, but you know what? I think it would. That's actually a great idea for me because I would actually be looking for a new job. Because see, the thing with Wanda was like, oh, she experienced it and she saw what people go through. Not me. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, hey, if I like it here at KFC or I like it here at the freaking Petco, I'm freaking staying. Yeah, and then I get the job. It's like the reverse Celebrity Apprentice. It's like on The Apprentice. Remember Trump used to actually give a job to like the winner if it wasn't the celebrity. It was like the regular apprentice. I want the crap job that they had in the first place. Like, what are some jobs celebrities used to do that I may be able to go backwards, but yet I'll be more fulfilled because it'll provide me with connection to people?
Well, I happen to have a quiz. That very, very premise. As some celebrities, their jobs are well known that they did. Ken Jeong, the actor.
Oh, I love Dr. Ken.
Right. And he was an actual doctor.
See, that's the thing I love about the Asians. Yeah. They didn't murder him when he was born because he was a boy. Then they did not murder him after he gave up a lucrative career as a doctor and became a comic. But then he showed his family the not murdering him was not in vain and that it was a good thing they didn't kill him because he made an assload as a comic slash actor. Good for you, Dr. Ken. Good for you.
Right. Harrison Ford was a carpenter. Everybody knows that. The Star Wars. So I found some that are a little less known. So Walt Disney, we all know Walt. Was he? I'm going to give you a
molester. No, I'm just kidding. Anyone who works with kids, I assume that. And I know he wasn't because I saw Saving Mr. Banks and I cried. Okay, go ahead.
He was an anti-Semite, though. So
What? Come on. Can I become one of those?
I don't know what the pay scale is.
I think it's pretty good if you sign up with the right people.
All right. Was Walt Disney a newspaper editor, door-to-door salesman, or a pet store employee?
Newspaper editor. What was the second one?
Door-to-door salesman.
I imagine him as a door-to-door salesman.
Wrong. He was a newspaper editor.
Are you sure? Shut up. In Saving Mr. Banks, he delivered newspapers for his father. It wasn't fictionalized. Shut up. That was true. And it was super sad. Okay, wait a minute. But out of those three jobs, let me see which one I would like to do. Okay, name them again. Newspaper editor, I've done that.
Door-to-door salesman?
No. Oh, my God. Mike, I can't ask people to donate to this fucking podcast. I'd rather do it for free. No, I would never do that. I can't ask people for money.
Right. Or pet store employee.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Who's a good boy?
Right. So but that would be,
it would only be with pets who are dogs.
Well, that doesn't
dog
happen.
Store employee.
A dog
How
store.
About I open a dog store? But then I'd have to run the business, which would piss me off. So, no, I don't want to do that. I want to work in a pet store that only deals with dogs. But see, do you understand what I'm going for here? The minute you said pet store employee, I got excited. Now, here's the thing, people. I know we joke around a lot on here, but the minute somebody mentions something and you have a visceral reaction to it, like, oh my God, that sounds like so much fun. Explore it. It's not saying you have to do it, but explore it. Look into it. Like if somebody told me, oh my God, here's a store and it's only doggies and you can go there and you could like deal with the public and sell them dogs and maybe like feed them. And I would even clean up their poop. I don't care. That's how I roll, Mike.
Right.
I would do it.
Okay.
So if something lights you up, people, look into it. Next. We have one of my job possibilities.
We've been
go ahead.
All right. Now, Andrea Bocelli, the singer, the blind opera singer.
Let me guess what he was. Right, he wasn't a reader.
Was he a financial investor, a lawyer, or a telemarketer?
I view him as a blind lawyer because that's right out of a freaking sitcom.
Correct.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. And by the way, all three of those jobs make me sick. I would kill myself. I've been a telemarketing. People hang up on you.
That's
they hate
terrible,
you.
That's terrible, yeah.
Blind lawyer. I can't do it because I could see. And what was the other one?
Financial investor.
Oh, forget it. I'm keeping my money where it counts. Are you kidding? In the bank under my mattress.
All right. Sylvester Stallone was a gardener, lion cage cleaner, or cartoonist?
Okay, now lion cage cleaner is so specifically, obviously not true that it has to be true.
Wow,
he
you're
worked
good.
In a zoo.
Yes, he did. He worked at the Central Park Zoo.
Really?
Yeah.
Now that I would not do, and I'll tell you why, because it's outside. I don't like nature. So nothing, I don't think any of those three sparks for me. So
well, you have
I don't
to do
like
one.
Nature. What's the other
gardener,
two?
Gardener, cartoonist.
I would be a cartoonist, but I'd be really bad at it.
Right. Well, you know,
sitting around trying to practice writing or drawing or painting or even taking pictures or playing an instrument, just it's the act of doing it itself that would be fun. Mm-hmm. So if I had to, I would be a cartoonist, but it doesn't spark me. So far, I've got to tell my manager I'm quitting comedy to become a pet store dog specialist employee.
There you go. Julia Child.
Oh, I loved her.
Was she a nanny, a nurse, or a spy?
No, I don't think she was a spy because her husband was in the foreign service. He was like an ambassador. I don't picture her nanny because she was very militaristic. What's the other one?
Nurse.
She's not that either. No, I see her as a nanny, I think.
Spy.
What?
From World War II.
Shut up.
I'm not going to shut up.
Are you kidding me?
I am not kidding.
You would think, being a spy, she would be able to spy that her husband was 3 feet tall.
And wait, how could she even whisper? Wait, here's the secret!
Wait. So none of those... You know, the only one that sparks my interest in that group is the chef part that she became.
Mm-hmm.
Because I personally go through the Stop and Shop circular every week now that I have a lot of time on my hands. And I cut out recipes that I'll never make. Mm-hmm. So I would maybe cook for the dogs in my dog-owned pit store by somebody else.
Okay, wow.
All right.
Martha Stewart.
Oh, that one.
Was she a model, a violinist, or a waitress at the Playboy Club?
I think she was, which one's so far-fetched? I think a model.
She was a model.
I know. For what? Before, but a bum. No. She was a model.
She was a model.
I bet as a teenager, she was quite cute and quite good looking.
Yeah.
That must have been when. Maybe she
well,
was
yeah.
a
you don't,
hand
you
model.
You don't see many 70-year-old models. Yeah.
Well, no, but a baby. Maybe as a baby, she was really cute. Okay, so let me see. I'm not going to be a model except, as myself,
right.
And no one wants to see that.
The violinist, you have to practice that.
Oh,
yeah.
And that Lindsay Sterling on Dancing with the Stars. She has it all over me, so I can't. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. What's the last
one? And the waitress.
One? You know what's weird? I wouldn't mind being like, not a waitress who'd go to a table, but if they'd come to me and they'd say, what can I have?
And then cook it for themselves.
Wait, but that'd be good.
Yeah.
So a counter. I would work at a counter at Cousin Ed's Hot Dog House in the Trumbull Mall when I was 16. But I liked that job. But here's what I didn't like. I would end up micromanaging everybody and being like, look at that lazy one. Oh, look at that one. Why don't they go clean under the thing? I'm not cleaning the puke in the bathroom. So I can't do the waitress. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I thought it out. See, people, though, that's all it takes is seeing the job and going, that looks interesting. Then picking it apart until you figure out what it is you're supposed to do. So far, the dogs need to come to me when they need their food because I am not bringing it over and I'm not cleaning out their cage.
All right, next celebrity, Mike Morse.
What? Okay. I never heard
I'm
of this guy.
I'm stretching the perimeters on this a little bit. Unloading trucks at a department store, mixing chemicals at a fragrance company, or owning a bar?
Listen. The weirdest one is the fragrance company. So I'm picking that.
Okay. All three. That was a trick question.
Are you kidding? Yeah. Okay, first of all, I can't imagine you owning anything.
I know.
Not a house.
Didn't work well.
Not a car. Not anything. Much less a bar. And I'm sure that met a terrible, terrible fate.
Yes.
Okay, that's even more embarrassing than Bob Weinstein's one sexual harassment case. One.
One.
Bob. way to commit.
Right.
Wait, you mix fragrances. I could see that easily.
Yeah.
I don't know why, because the toxic fumes have gotten to you, and that's why you're doing this. And then the third one?
Unloading trucks at a department store.
Oh, yeah, I could easily.
Which was great. That was the best job, because there's no response. Like, there's a truck, you take the fucking boxes off, you're done. There's no responsibilities.
But you're a bit of a pussy.
No, I'm wiry. I'm stronger than I look.
With his rock star physique, everyone. And did you Tetris those boxes?
No, it was great. And
you didn't load, you unloaded.
Well, you would load, most stuff's coming in, very little coming out. So it was mostly unloading. And sometimes if there's enough people on the floor, you could actually hide behind some of the boxes in the warehouse and not even have to do it.
See, that's pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
That's... You know what, Mike? That's not for me because I'm physically weak. But maybe after a while of working in the pet store, I could be so strong from picking up the big dogs and possibly bathing them that I would actually have the upper body strength of someone who could handle that.
Well, we also had it.
Put it this way. If Mike can do it, I can do it.
Yeah,
wait,
yeah.
You said you had a forklift? You were about
no,
to
no,
say?
There was, no, no, oh. No. There was a floor manager
that was
a woman, Barbara. Then she's the one who would check stuff off that came
ooh,
off.
Big so lesbian would, Barbara.
Yeah.
I could be lesbian Barbara. Yeah. Okay, so here we go. We have decided in segment one that one, Lisa Lampanelli needs something in her life beside comedy to make her feel fulfilled now that her play is over. We have also decided two, that if a job sparks my interest and I immediately say, oh my God, that sounds like fun, it's a direction to explore. And that's what you people should figure out too. And also, I haven't mentioned it yet, but I'm going to say it now, Mike. It's the feeling of the job you want, not the job itself. In other words, is it going to be fun every single day taking care of dogs, cleaning up their crap, feeding them, having them come to me and beg for food? No.
No.
But guess what? It will make me feel included and part of something.
And powerful.
And a connection. And stop it.
You're lording
and
over these
stop
dogs.
Stop it. Yes, I'm lording over the dog. But people, what you want is the feeling that job gives you. So even if it's not dogs, if it's, God forbid, cats or old people, you could still find something that will give you that inner spark that will keep you going every day until you find the perfect thing for you. Now, when we come back, Mike.
Yes.
We are going to have a call from someone who's made a big change in their life recently. And from what I hear is doing fairly well.
Okay, I'm excited.
So we will be back with Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli.
Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli. We'll be right back. Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli. Welcome back.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli. Now, I teased in our last segment that we're going to have a special call-in guest who made a big change in his or her life. But we are sidelined, if you will. Mm. We'll put that aside because guess who called in early? My little bitch, my little roly-poly doll, it's time for the weekly weigh-in with Frank DeCaro.
Ladies and gentlemen in the red corner, standing at 5 foot, who cares, weighing God knows how much, it's the weigh-in with Frank DeCaro.
Frank! Frank! Frank, are you there? Frank!
Oh, hello. Sorry, Lisa. I was just finishing off the last piece of pumpkin pie.
Wait. You're still eating Thanksgiving leftovers from Thanksgiving?
Oh, hell no. Those were gone by Friday. I baked this pie this morning.
Wait. Frank, it's freaking noon, and it's 9 in L.A. You ate a pie this morning.
I know, yeah, but don't worry. I only put whipped cream on half of it.
Well, you know, it is hard to eat healthier on the holidays. Good try.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I celebrate every holiday. Like, tomorrow is National Square Dance Day. You know how I'm going to celebrate it? By having 5 square meals.
Oh, my God. Frank, you're so fat. You're going to gain all your weight back. Are you working out?
Of course. I'm doing push-ups right now.
Wait, you really?
Yeah, I'm pushing potato chips up to my mouth.
Frank. Oh my God. All right. I'm so embarrassed. I'm sure Mike is completely going to make fun of you. I won't let him talk at the moment. Okay, let's do the weigh-in right now. Go ahead.
All right. Let me get completely naked first so I'll weigh less. Hang on.
Oh God, is that going to help?
I mean, it's helping me. It's not helping the other people in Starbucks.
Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus Christ. Frank, okay, listen, be serious. Your weight last week was 212.
Okay. The good old days, yeah. Okay, I'm getting on the scale. Hang on. Here we go. 211.
Oh, my God, that's great.
Okay, now let me put the other foot on. Wow. What a coincidence.
What?
My weight is now the same as my social security number.
Oh, my God, Frank. Come on. Don't disappoint me. What the hell have you been eating?
I think the question is, what haven't I been eating? There is a bright side, though.
What?
You know, if the stock market goes up as quickly as my weight has, we'll all be billionaires.
Okay. Wait a minute. I'm starting to get a little suspicious about this, Frank.
First of all,
shut up. That joke was a little too clever for Frank. First of all, he doesn't know anything about current events, stocks, and has no money. Oh, Frank, if it's the real you. And also, your voice seems a little low for Frank. Shut up. I have a bone to pick. Is this actually Frank DeCaro?
Of course it is.
Okay. Mike, here's how I'm going to find out.
Okay.
Because Frank and I travel on the road together, and we have many intimate conversations. Frank, what is your favorite sexual position?
Reverse cowgirl.
Wrong! It's reverse cowboy! Yeah. Two of them! Wait a minute. Who is this really?
Hello, this is Rachel Butera.
Oh, yeah. Rachel! Oh, my God.
Hello.
Okay, first of all, your impression of Frank is dead on. It is a little high-voiced for even him. But, no, dude, how are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited to be on this podcast, Lisa Lampanelli.
Me too. Now, Mike was lucky enough to wrangle Rachel for us. Rachel is a celebrity impressionist that you've heard many, many times on the Howard Stern Show. And you personally made a pretty big change a few years ago. Tell us about what you've changed in your life, because we're talking about what I should do in my life.
All right. So 6.5 years ago, I'm rotting away in a corporate job in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And I go on the Howard Stern Show to do this impression contest, which I've been listening to that show forever, and I always wanted to be on that show. And I win $5,000, and suddenly the whole country heard me. And within a year, I was out in L.A., doing voiceover for cartoons and commercials and stuff.
Wow. So within a year, it took off.
Yeah.
What came up for you when you thought about moving? Was there any fear that came up? Was there any trepidation?
Oh, my God. So much fear. I mean, I spent my whole life, I was 39 years old, my whole life in New Jersey with like a year and a half in New York. I left. I mean, I had no husband, no house, no kids. So that was fine. But like, I had such a great support group of friends. All my family was there. I didn't know anybody in L.A. I was scared shitless. I didn't know if I could do it or not. But I thought this is my only chance to get out there. So I'm going to go.
Now, do you think it's when you said you had a year and a half in New York, was that also an attempt to, quote unquote, make it and to be in the business?
No, I was writing for porn magazines at that point. I had no...
Wow.
It's my dream job.
Yeah, right? Mike, no. That's like me being a pet store owner. Wow. So, but what's funny is like you really took it by the balls and you were just like, I'm doing this. How scared did you get? Meaning like, was there ever a moment where you were like, I can't do this?
No, I was always determined to come, but once I was here, I cried every night going, what did I do? What did I do? Why did I do this? Because it's so friggin' lonely out here in L.A.
Right.
And hard to make friends, and I just missed everybody. So I was so homesick for like at least 2 years.
Right. And how did you get through those 2 years? Was the work coming in enough to offset that?
There was a little bit of work. It trickled. Honestly, it didn't start really kicking in until this year. So kids looking to come to Hollywood, you're talking about like a 6-year wait until something actually happens. You know, I just kept in touch with my friends back home, and I did make some good friends out here, and most of them were from the East Coast, because that's really important to, like, have that sort of, you know, home comfort, because people from California are friggin' weird. You can't make friends with them.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially when you're judgy like that statement.
Totally.
No, but I'm with you. Like, you have to feel like you have some commonalities and common reference points with people. It's like when people date someone far younger or far older, it's like, really? Are you going to remember what plop plop fizz fizz was? No, if you don't know, I can't fucking date you. So you just need a familiarity and common reference points, and that's really helpful. So how did you go about sort of pushing through those lonely times? Because that, I think that's what everybody just wants, is some sort of, they want to work at a meaningful job, but also they want to connect with people in their real life and in their job. And obviously doing voiceovers, you're not going to get a lot of connection at your job because you're kind of in a booth by yourself.
Yeah, it's a lot of alone time. So what I first did when I moved here, I took advantage of the nature and the beauty of California. I would go to Malibu all the time just by myself and marvel. I couldn't, you know, I was here for the first time. I never saw California. I could not believe how friggin' beautiful it was.
Yeah.
So I would just take drives to Malibu or like take a bike ride or go to the beach as much as possible. So that first year, like, I really connected with the nature of California. And it saved me. Hiking saved me. I know it sounds stupid and annoying, but it's true.
No, it's really good because it is looking for the good and it's looking for the thing that you can grab onto, because there's always something, some kind of lifeline that we could grab onto. And honestly, you could have stayed in Jersey and had a perfectly fine life, but you would have never thought, okay, you know, I did it. You would have had a huge regret and it would have been a shame because you really love what you do and you're really good at it.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I never expected this. I never wanted to be in showbiz. I just knew I could do these voices, but didn't know what to do with them. And this sort of just, you know, people are like, you're following your dream. I'm like, well, it kind of fell into my lap and now I'm running with it. So I'm so thankful that, you know, for the Howard Stern Show, because it really launched my entire life. And it's like, this is like the second half of my life and it's totally different than the first half.
Wow.
What was the job you got out there that made you think, okay, this is really, you know, paying off. It was worth it.
I'm still waiting for that, Mike.
Isn't he sweet to bring that up?
But she does a lot of cool stuff. I see, you know, she posts her. I see her name sometimes. I'm watching, you know, animated stuff, and I was like, oh, well, there she is.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I think it's almost like it's the cumulative thing of, like, you get so much stuff and little things here and there, and it all ends up adding up to a career, I think.
Yes, and then you have to take stock of it and, like, wow, look back on my calendar, and I'm like, I did do a lot of stuff this year. You don't realize it when you're in it, but when you look back, you really appreciate it.
Right, right. And those small things may lead to bigger things. And here's the other thing. It may not. You just may be a consistent worker for the rest of your life in this business, and who wouldn't love that? So I think sometimes when we have that big, I got to sell out Madison Square Garden, or I have to have a TV show, or I have to, you know, you have to be the next villain on Despicable Me 3, which I was fired from anyway. So you probably got that job ahead of me anyway. It might not be what you think it is. And your lesson might be, wow, it's enough to have this great career where I'm earning good money and doing what I want. And I'm not in an office because that's not for you.
Right. All an actor should really want is to be able to support themselves as an actor for the rest of their life. And if I could do that, I mean, you know, I get to have lunch in the middle of the day and go to the beach on a weekday. Like, how can that be bad? As long as I can support myself doing it.
Yeah. Now, I know a lot of actors say that, and it's hard to mean it. Because it's how we think. I literally mean it because of accomplishing a lot in my career, but I couldn't mean those words until now. Meaning,
right,
I don't care what level I'm on ever again. The ego doesn't kick in anymore. It's like, I don't care. It's fine. Give me a dog. Give me a freaking therapy training for my dog if I could get the nerve up to actually show up for the classes. And I'll be happy just doing what I'm doing and a few comedy dates here and there. But do you feel it is embodying it, that sort of is really taken hold with you, where you don't really feel you need to, you don't long for some huge, like, worldwide success where you're actually very, very well known?
And I don't think I'm totally free of that yet, but right. This is a new thing for me. It's only been 6 years, and I have the talent, but I don't have the vaulting ambition that some people have. And you really gotta have, the ambition is 90%. The drive is 90% and the talent is 10.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I have the drive. So I might have the wish to be more successful and to do more, but if I don't think I have the drive to make it happen. And if I don't, I have to accept that and it's okay.
I like that you said that because we all know our limits and we all know what we're willing to do. And yeah, you know, do we want to do stuff and give up some of that freedom? No. Like, the idea of a TV show, Mike knows this, makes me so physically ill because I go, oh my God, do you know how hard that is? Like, when you hear that, when you hear, you know, Roseanne's going back to the Roseanne show, do you know what a grind that is? Don't you, like you said, that love of kind of having that freedom and having your life be better versus your work be more lucrative? I think one is far outweighs the other.
Absolutely. I mean, Roseanne's on her nut farm. Why would she want to go back to that 16-hour, you know, the aggravation?
Some
people crave that.
That's why somebody like Ike Turner is really valuable because Tina had no ambition. And somehow, I don't know what he did. Somehow he inspired her.
I think he did it through his fists, which I think sometimes you have to.
Everybody has different ways.
Every once in a while, you got to cut a bitch. Now, Rachel, do you also want to be, an actor other than a voice actor?
I do. You know, the casting director that was doing Crashing, that Pete Holmes show on HBO, somehow found me, and I don't even do on camera stuff. And she asked me to put myself on tape, and I was so excited. I'm like, this is it. Casting directors are going to start finding me. I'm going to start auditioning for shows. And I put myself on tape from here in LA, and she was in New York, and I sent it to her, and she really loved it. But Gina Gershon wound up getting the part. But then the casting director met with me when I was in New York. She was like nice enough to do it. She's like, I really liked it. You know, you should keep that stuff up. And I never did anything else after that because I'm like, I'm horrible and nobody wants me. But
here's the thing. The horrible and no one wants me part is all you because she said you were good and she wouldn't have met with you because trust me, there's nothing they'd like more than to crush anyone's name off the list. So it's a call they don't have to make, you know? So, you possibly think about because I love giving unwanted advice, your lack of ambition maybe isn't lack of ambition. Maybe it's a little fear of rejection and fear of, you know, putting yourself out there because you've been given a sign that you did really well on that audition. And what's interesting is you took the ball and ran with it for the Stern thing and the LA move, but this on-camera thing, you have a more of a fear around that, and that it sounds like you're letting that hold you back.
Yeah, I think you're right. I do have a fear of that, and I also was lucky enough. People started putting me on their shows to do stand up once I did the Stern Show. I'd never done stand up in my life, and I just sort of was being given shows at the Comedy Store, at Flappers, at the Improv. And I was cool with it then, but now I'm scared to do it because now people expect me to do well. And so I don't really do stand up much anymore because I've suddenly developed this fear around it, even though I think I'd be good at it and I know I probably should do it.
I saw Rachel at in Nyack at the club up there, and she was funny. Yeah, she was very good.
Listen, Mike said funny with a little shrug, like it was a caveat of like her writing.
There was something in my eye when I was winking. Okay,
Mike, what does Rachel need to work on? Go ahead.
Confidence, and she needs to hire a writer.
That's probably true because hey, everyone has writers. Chris, you tell me, Chris.
I just need work.
No, I know it's true. But here's the thing. It's so funny with you, Rachel, because I love you, and you're like everything people gave you positive feedback for. You quit. You know what I mean? It's like if you gave a guy a blowjob and he said you're great at head, you'd never do it again. So, Rachel, if you have a boyfriend,
note to self.
If Rachel's boyfriend is listening, don't tell her she gives good head. Tell her she needs to practice, but give her $5,000. It seems to be that's the way you motivate her is through money. So you could be a prostitute. Mm-hmm. I think we've come up with your new job.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, my God. I love it.
Now, Rachel, I couldn't I can't have you on the phone without asking you. Do you do an impression of me?
When Hillary Clinton was running, I would do this bit when I was doing stand up of what celebrities would, you know, how they would vote for her. You know, Rosie O'Donnell would love her. I want Hillary Clinton. I can't have a man in the office. I need pussy in the office. And I would do Lisa Lampanelli would be like, I know I'm voting for Hillary Clinton. She's a cunt, but I love her anyway. Her husband fucked an intern and she probably fucked a black.
You got the big thing, which was the Blakes. Oh, my God.
I love your voice when you go down, because, you know, you can be big and loud, but then when you go down here, I love that.
Oh, my God. Rachel, so I'm going to have you call in at one point, and can we do, like, a dueling Lisa's?
Oh, my God, yes, please.
That'd be so great. Now, listen, Rachel, here's what I have to say to you. I'm very proud of you for doing the move to L.A. and for getting your career going over there. I'm very ashamed of you for giving $5,000 blowjobs and no, I'm ashamed of you for not, you don't have to pick up the ball and run with it with this on camera or with the stand up. But what you have to do is at least acknowledge you're good at it and that someday that might be a path you might want to explore. So just stay open to it. All right.
I will. I'll do that for you.
You're freaking amazing, dude. You're so talented. Listen, this is our last podcast of 2017. However, in 2018, you and I are doing a Dueling Lisa show at some point with Mike Morse in the background, like with his with a freaking muzzle on so we can't talk. How does that sound?
I can't friggin' wait. I love it.
Thank you.
And so
listen,
much.
As Rosie O'Donnell, please give us where to find you on social.
All right, listen, you can follow me on Twitter at Rachel A. Butera, B-U-T-E-R-A, okay? I don't post as much as Rosie about Trump. I post a lot of funny stuff, okay?
Okay.
And thank you.
That was awesome. Rachel, I love you, man. Thanks for calling in. God bless.
I love you guys both. Happy New Year, Mike and Lisa.
Bye. Bye, Rachel.
Oh, my goodness. She's awesome.
She's great. She is great.
That's great. See, now, see, we got to see that people can make moves, shake things up. And hey, it doesn't mean their life's perfect, that, oh, now everything's fallen into place. They still have their insecurities and their fears, but at least she's moving forward on several fronts. That bitch is funny.
She's very funny.
Like, I may have to fire Frank because she sounded like him. Yeah. Oh, my God. He's going to die when he hears this, by the way.
It's going to be I can't wait to make fun of the real Frank. So.
Oh, my God. Yeah, because from what I heard, you've had some evidence that Frank's been doing some hard eating.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Okay, so listen. This is Get Stuff with Lisa Lampanelli and Mike Morse. We're going to be right back. We're going to have the actual real weekly weigh-in with Frank DeCaro. God, she's funny.
Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli. We'll be right back. Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli. Welcome back.
Hey, everybody. It's Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli. I'm your host, Lisa Lampanelli. I'm here with Mike Morse. Mm-hmm. And we just finished talking with Rachel Butera,
who did a great Frank impression. And so we don't really have to call Frank now, right?
How dare you, Mike? We're kind of ahead of him. Because we want to put his feet to the fire if we can lift them up. We're going to try.
He'll eat them if you cook them.
Yo, stop now. Oh, my God. No. Let's take it down a notch. Let's be professional. It is time for the actual, real Weekly Weigh-In with Frank DeCaro.
Gentlemen in the red corner, standing at 5 foot, who cares, weighing God knows how much, it's the Weigh-In with Frank DeCaro.
Okay, here's my gift to you, Mike. It's a field day for you today after the holidays, okay? Knock yourself out, hit me with both barrels, and put fudge on top of it, okay? It's like, it's that time.
All right, Frank, listen.
No. Yes, dear.
You have my...
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Frank.
Whom I still adore. Whom I still adore, even though Mike is on my shit list.
He's a terrible, terrible person.
Yeah.
Now, Frank,
he's a bad man.
I have to tell you something. I called you a couple days ago, and we still haven't connected, but I want to tell you why I was calling. I'm going to do so on the air. Because when I saw you during the last weekend of my play Stuffed, after I saw you and had lunch with you, I was remarking to literally everyone who knows you that I bumped into how amazing you look. And I said it's not just physical. I said, for some reason, ever since the weight loss and you settling in to your new shape and your new way of dressing, I said there was something about Frank that wasn't just physical, but his confidence is good. He's dressing really well, really fitted, good clothes that look like they're for your shape. And I said there was just something different about the way he looked on Saturday when I saw him. And then I go, wait a minute, I've been telling every single person how great Frank looked and how his demeanor was, except for Frank. And I go, what you do with people you love is call them and tell them how great they look and what you've been saying about them. So I called you to tell you that. And then you never called me back until 2 days later. And I said, well, fuck it. I'll just wait till the podcast and put it right out there on the air that I feel that way about you, despite your weight or what's going on with you. You looked fantastic. Do you sense a difference?
I do. My confidence level is really up. I have to say right up front, I owe everything to Lisa Lampanelli.
Stop it.
I mean, I may have put the fork down, but Lisa is the total inspiration. And
but what do you think?
I did do the hardest work.
What do you think it
is? I've
given up
being slovenly.
Oh, okay.
I think exercising has been really good for me. Working on my sense of self-esteem, not hating the guy in the mirror has been fantastic. It's really been great. Now, all of that, there's a big asterisk next to all of this.
Yes.
Because I got on the scale today.
Oy, oy, oy.
And Mike, my weight number is unlisted this week. Okay. It is unlisted. I asked and I'm not allowed to give it out on a podcast.
Oh my God. It's really bad, huh?
I gained 3 pounds.
Oh!
And I knew I was going to. However, here was the thought. My first thought when I woke up this morning was, go look to make sure you didn't gain the 105 pounds back in the last week and a half. So I went and looked. That was not the case. Then I decided, okay, maybe it'll be 220. Maybe you'll have gained 8 pounds. So when I got on the scale and I'd only gained 3, I was like, now get your ass to the gym and get those 3 pounds off before you go back to New York for Christmas. It's like, get your shit together, bitch.
That way you can gain 7 over Christmas and then just get that off.
Yeah, exactly. Just this nonstop cycle. But I have to tell you, so the other day I said, oh my God, I said, to use Lisa's expression and my father's expression, I said, I've been eating like I had 9 rectums. I said, it's been insane. Every person who still speaks to me, I have overeaten with in the last 2 weeks.
Except for me. Because when we had dinner after my play, you ate very well. Now, do you think it's because you're scared of me? I don't. I think you just feel comfortable and happy with the conversation. I'm taking full credit for being your most scintillating dinner companion.
Yeah.
And that you don't feel... I don't know. Why do you think when you were with me, you ate some kind of silly little kale shit with salmon or some shit? And with everybody else...
I had a little poke bowl kind of thing. No, it was good. I think partly because if tuna tartare is on the menu where I'm having lunch or dinner, that's what I'll order. That's not, oh, I'll be good. It's just, oh, that's my favorite thing. I mean, if I'm in a sushi restaurant every day, I'm happy.
Well, wait.
Yes.
Why are you not then? Meaning?
Because it was a lot of... I'm taking you to Arthur Avenue in the Bronx for Italian food. And so that's like, you eat your weight in Italian food. So everyone else was like, oh my God, there's a Shake Shack at the outlet mall. That's where we're going. And I did not say no to any of it. But I just was, it's the holidays. I'll be in the flow of things. It'll be great. And then I would go home. And because I'm such a freaking amazing cook,
yes.
I had leftovers like you wouldn't believe. So it was like, we would say, oh, it won't be too bad. And then you'd make this turkey bowl with everything you made for Thanksgiving layered in a bowl with gravy poured on top of it.
Well, by the way,
so good.
By the way, from what I understand, according to Mike, you were doing more than eating a turkey bowl. What else was he having, Mike?
Yeah, I do have to give it to Frank. When he falls off the wagon, he just like jumps head first.
Yeah, yeah.
Because a quick glance at Frank's Facebook and Instagram, yes. He made mac and cheese waffles.
I mean, that is folding everything bad into one thing, which is fantastic.
Right.
I mean, I wish that I could eat that all the time.
Yeah, that's like putting crack in a bottle of vodka and drinking it.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, well, I've done that. That's
wow. And what else did this guy cook?
And then there was, and I'll do my Frank impression. I don't want to say, not bad, right? I don't want to say that other people's deviled eggs with crispy pancetta suck compared to mine, but they do. And there's just a big platter of eggs.
Wow.
And
yeah. How those many were, of those did you nail?
Halves or holes?
Oh my God. If you have to ask.
I would say I had probably out of, if I had a dozen halves, I probably had six of them, I would say, but over a few couple days. But here was the problem. The mac and cheese waffles were not the problem. It was the desserts that I made that were really the problem.
Mac and cheese waffles are way more problematic.
That's way more problematic.
I think they're both the problem, honestly.
No, but I mean, I don't crave them. I threw one of the waffles away when it got old. I let it get old and threw it away because I don't really care. Mac and cheese waffles are not a big thrill. However, there was not a micro inch of the pumpkin spice bundt cake with cream cheese frosting that got thrown out. I finished that mother scratcher as fast as there's nothing in the refrigerator that is going to go to waste while I'm away for a week or two.
Wow, Frank,
I made sure of that.
Do you ever worry that you have no joy in your voice when you describe anything except food?
I do. If I could talk about sex the way I talk about food, it would be great. If I could talk about work the way I talk about food. Yeah, if I could talk about anything the way I talk about food, it's true. People. What if I talked about people the way I feel about food? Yeah,
because then you'd end up eating them.
Yeah.
I know. It's true. You never, with a little... You know, garlic aioli, anyone can go down. I'll tell you, it wouldn't be so bad.
Frank, I'm telling you, that's something.
Dirty, and I didn't mean it.
I know. Yeah. But you know what's interesting about that? Even though it sounds funny, it's so true, though, because when you describe food, I mean, the only thing I've ever heard you that joyful about is your dog. And I know you're not into eating your dog. So isn't it interesting?
You never know.
Isn't it interesting, though, and all jokes aside, like that... Nothing feels as good as being thin tastes. Nothing tastes as good as being thin feels. And that is total bullshit because binges and all this food, it's really joyful. Like you get a real kick out of it. Did you ever think of exploring other ways in your life to have joy? I haven't.
I try, but they don't measure up. I think it's really sadly the truth of things. But no, I'm honestly getting more pleasure out of everything. But this feeling all your feelings is a double-edged sword because when you go to see a show, say you see Stuffed and you laughed your ass off, or you go see a Broadway musical and you're sitting there and it's so beautiful, you're weeping. You know, I do all that now. I laugh more and I cry more, but it's also, but there are days when if something really hurts you, you're just like, oh, this hurts even more than it would have. And then you think, God, a brownie right now would be good. But I was like, you enjoy the interior monologue was you enjoy this time while you're back east and eat yourself in oblivion. But the moment you hit the ground in Los Angeles, it is back to the gym, back to counting every calorie. Not, oh, I just put a little whipped cream on it. It's fine. Because I was in that head
yes.
for 2 weeks.
You know, okay.
Like, don't count. Write the cake down, but the whipped cream is a freebie. It's like, no, it's really not.
I know. Isn't that funny? Because it says it's so funny on the whipped cream. It's such a slippery slope. It says on the can that it's, you know, 2 tablespoons or 15 calories. Who has ever eaten 2 tablespoons of whipped cream? I mean, we literally played pie in the face over Thanksgiving after dinner. And it's this game where a hand comes up and hits you in the face with whipped cream. When you're licking the hand, there's like 100 calories. We went through 2 things of whipped cream. This is not for 5 people. This is not, it's a slippery slope food.
Those 2 spoonfuls are what you do to decide if you like it enough to eat.
Yes, 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 it's true.
That's what I always say. That's like when you go to a fancy restaurant and they bring you that little plate with the shitty little portion on it. And you look at it and you're just like, oh, well, good. If I like this, I'll actually order it. How about that?
That's an amuse bouche. That's amusing your bush. Well, Frank, here's what I'm going to say. Here's what I'm going to say. Now, I am not your keeper, but wait a minute, I am. But for the rest of the year, since this is our last broadcast of the year of 2017, I am not going to be on top of you about this. So make a vow when we come back in January, if I don't quit my job and become a pet store owner, which, we, by the way, earlier in the broadcast, we decided that's probably the best thing for me. Actually, not an owner, but just I mind the pet store, but only the dogs because I hate the cats. Anyway, if I decide to come back to performing in January, what do you vow? Will you be back to your 212? I hope so, because, Frank, you're on that little tipping point between I could go either way because the holidays are my big excuse.
I hear you. No, yes, I am vowing to you when I see you next, I will have lost the weight I gained over Thanksgiving.
And you'll have gained, and will you have gained Christmas weight?
Well, I'll see you between now and then. That'll be a new promise. But by the time I see you, when I get home,
well, listen, you got...
I will definitely have lost the weight. It's got to be. Oh, I wanted to ask you about this, Lisa, because since you are at your goal weight and have been for a while, do you notice that when you gain a, I think you and I could gain 50 pounds in the old days and go, oh, I didn't notice.
Yes.
You know, and and now you're like, I gained 3 pounds and nothing fits right.
Exactly, because we're so hyper aware of it. Plus, we have new standards. It's like dating a guy who hits you. You know, if he's hitting you every day, you don't notice it so much. But if Jim Colucci gave you a smack in the face, you'd go, oh, you fucking faggot, you hit me. I mean, you would say it like that, right?
No, I'd probably say, fuck me hard,
oh,
I think.
Oh,
no, I
God. See, we had to go there. No, but I think because you notice you're hypersensitive to it. And yeah, so, you know, those 3 pounds are going to really make a difference because also you just know it's wrong. Like in the past, you were in denial and so was I. When you're 248 pounds or you're 3-something like you were, you're in denial. You're going, oh, I can get away with this. Oh, it's okay. I'm doing it. But now you're aware. So sorry, you can't unlearn what you know. So get ready to get those pounds off or feel like shit.
And why would I feel like shit? Because Mike will make me feel that way.
It's true. It's true. Hey, if you didn't post pictures of food and gain weight, Mike wouldn't have anything to say. So how about we do that? How about we make Mike's job hard and just we'll lose the weight and then figure out how to make Mike miserable a different way.
It's true, but if anytime I post food now, I'm going to tag Mike.
Oh, you have to.
Make it, let him do it. Let him have a thrill, you know?
Well, so, Frank, listen, one last thing before we close out our shows for 2017. You made a big change in your life. You made the change with the weight. You made the change with the move to L.A. Why didn't fear stop you this time? Go.
I think I had turned 50 right before we moved to LA, and I was like, you know what? It's now or never. And I thought, you either have to do this or you got to quit complaining. And so I started doing it. And first it was the move to LA, and that got settled for a year or two. And then it was the, now you've got to get your weight in check. And I danced around it, but you really need a catalyst. And for me, that was the meeting that you, Lisa, and I had, that you and I had. And that really sort of gave me the courage. And it kind of, as I always told you, was the perfect storm. I had the time to go to the gym. I was ready to do it. And I said, I just think I had to take my own medicine because we were always saying about friends who were complaining so much but not putting themselves out there. We were like, you can't – my husband always says, you can't be mad that no one asks you to dance if no one knows you're at the party.
Yeah.
And that's the advice I've been taking. It's like you can bitch and moan if you're putting yourself out there all the time. But if you're putting yourself out there all the time and it's working or it's not working, you almost don't get as upset as when you're in that stuck feeling of not even being out there. If you go to an audition and it doesn't happen, you're like, so what? If you don't have an audition because you're too scared to go drag your ass out there and hand them your photo and your resume, it's like that's when you feel terrible. Not getting something isn't the big deal. It's not even going to the party that's the problem for me. And I kind of got to the it's now or never thing, you know?
And
I had friends
the
who
fact
cared
is,
and have helped.
Listen, I don't care, but you have friends who care.
Yeah.
No, no. Of course I care. But you realized it was your time. And whether it was at 50 or when it's lucky enough for some people, it's 30 or 20. You just knew when you were ready. And see, things are good. And if your life stayed exactly like this, you stayed at the 212, you stayed in your career as it is now, would you be, and your home life and your friendships as it is now, would you be able to deal with that? Would you say, you know what, I'm grateful and happy for my life this way?
Yeah, I wouldn't trade my problems for anybody's. I have the dumbest problems ever. So I can't complain. You know, you're like, I'm not going to be able to do that book when I wanted it. It's got to come out 6 months later. You know, shut up.
Yeah.
Just shut up and go to the gym and look at your beautiful husband and your adorable dog and your great friends. And then say, what the hell am I going to wear tonight? Oh, I haven't worn two things in the same in a selfie in months. Oh, you know, it's yeah. Shut up.
Yeah.
It's
you like, are pretty. So pretty much, I think our lesson is you'll know when the move is right. You do it. Then you'd be grateful of the tiny little progress you made and the tiny little weight gain you had, and then you freaking are fine. Am I right or am I wrong?
Yes. Yes, and Lisa, you always say a really great thing. And
I always say
sure
great things.
You do. But this is something that I think. When we'll do the shows together and I'll run around during the Q&A, and people say, you'll say, are you going to lose the weight? And they'll say, I'll try. And you always say, don't try, do. And it's like, that's the thing. You can't go into going, I'll try. It's like, no, you just have to say, frig it, I'm doing this.
And yeah, I think you're right.
And that's the attitude.
You're right. And it's like, if you're saying, I'll try, it's fine. Just know that it's not truly committing. I mean, because we've all said, I'll try a million times, and that's fine. Just know in your heart that that means you're not ready yet. When you say, you know what?
I'm not going to do it.
Right, which is fine. You know? And guess what? It's okay to stay fat. It's okay to stay in the same job. It's okay to stay miserable, but just admit it and then don't complain. Because when you complain, then you lose your friends and your husband cheats on you and your dog leaves. And guess what? Pretty soon you're getting made fun of by Mike Morse. Is life really that good? So listen to me, Frank. I look forward to a very fruitful and profitable, and I don't mean that for you financially, but I certainly mean it for me, 2018.
Oh, it's going to be fruitful.
It'll be fruitful. It'll be multiplying.
I'll do the fruitful and you do the financially. I'll just, anywhere I am is fruitful. So
excellent.
Knock yourself out with it. But yes. But let's hope a little money comes our way, but we'll see.
Good. Well, I love you and I'm proud of you. Not proud of this 3 pounds, but when I see you in a couple weeks right before the holidays, I'm sure you'll be less because I'm weighing you myself December 20th in New Jersey at your house on your analog scale. Okay.
It's I got on the mean scale today and it still was only 3 pounds. The mean scale today was, I was very relieved.
You'll be on your scale with a mean person on December 20th. I'll see you at your house in December. I love you, man.
I can't wait. Love you guys. Even since it was Christmas season, you too, Mike.
Thank you. I'm going to send you a fruitcake.
Wow, that was really terrible. All right, buddy. I love
something
you.
I don't need. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Well, that was all right.
That was all right.
Listen. Yeah. Guaranteed he's going to lose that 3 pounds.
No, he won't.
But guaranteed he's going to gain 8 after Christmas.
Oh, well, there's the Jewish holidays.
He makes Jewish
Ramadan.
Friends. Wait, he mentioned he makes Jewish friends just to have a binge place to go to. Ramadan is a starving holiday.
Not for him.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And there's, as you said, National Square Dance Day.
Right, and Kwanzaa's coming up.
Kwanzaa, 9 days of eating and not working. Yeah. And there's
Boxing Day. Oh, my God.
Canadian Thanksgiving.
Right.
I don't know if that took place
yet. Whatever, yeah. Probably the Chinese New Year.
But then, guess what? New Year's Eve at my house.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. It's all over.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's pretty much dead in the water. So, okay. I bet, though, when I go to weigh him, because I'm literally going to their house on December 20th, not to weigh him, but I was going there for a little thing.
Right.
So, I bet the 3 pounds will be off.
Okay.
But guarantee you, hey, let's put my prediction. Right. Write this down. Prediction for 2018, the first podcast.
Yep.
I'm actually shocked that he weighed himself and told us the truth.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess he's going to be at, I hate to say it, he'll be at 223.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
Well, this way I'll be pleasantly surprised.
No, you won't. You're going to be...
I'm going to be right. Yeah. No, I pray to God. I hope it's not true, but we'll see. So anyway, Mike, so what have we learned this week?
You should try new things. Try a new career. Try new food.
And try not to always get in your own way by self-sabotaging and saying, oh, I don't know, I'm scared. If you're scared... talk yourself through it. Feel the fear and do it anyway. It's a great book.
I can.
Yeah, and you probably can't.
No.
But you know what? Hey, put it this way. Is Lisa Lampanelli ever going to be the best dog store employee in the world? No, but maybe I'll feel a connection to humanity and animals. Will Rachel Butera ever go to a casting office where she doesn't second guess herself? Maybe not.
Probably not.
But she may get enough positive reinforcement by the time she's 45 to feel better about herself and go to more auditions. Right. Will Mike Morse ever make money from comedy? Absolutely not.
That's a hard no.
And will Frank DeCaro ever keep his weight off? Not all of it. But you know what? We could still try different things. What's the worst that could happen? And keep doing it anyway. That's a good thing to end on in 2017. Right?
Yes.
Just always agree with me.
Oh, yes.
No. I feel good about this. And Mike... when I see you in 2018 for our next podcast, I'm sure I'll change everything I just said.
It'll be all different.
All different.
That's
totally.
All right.
Well, thank you for listening this year. That's our 12th and final episode of 2017 of Get Stuff with Lisa Lampanelli. We'll be back in 2018. We'll see how fat Frank is, how unemployed Mike is, and how fucking awesome I am. God bless. Thank you, everybody.
Bye-bye. Oh, wait. We got to do the plug.
Fuck them.
No,
I'm so sick of ending this show on a high note.
I'll do it
And then
quick.
All of a sudden, we got to thank this one and that one. We've thanked you enough, but go ahead, Mike.
All right. Lauren and Ken from Puffin Dog Music. They do all the tunes. You got to love them.
Terrific.
Mazel tov to them.
They're grading me a new one for 2018, by the way. Give them notice, Jim. Write that down when you're typing whatever the fuck you're typing, probably doing the emails. Type, write new music for new 2018 theme for Lisa and Mike. Go!
Right. And then, of course, your favorite, Anthony from Five Home Productions.
Too much, this
mixing,
one.
Producing, he does it all.
Nothing.
He does nothing.
The daily reminder. Did you freaking write me a title yet? Did you send your description? Do you have fucking pen and paper yet? Me, do it yourself.
So when you've, and now for you, our loyal listeners, when you've gone, finished listening to this, go back and listen to the rest of them.
Yes.
And then go listen to other ones on Feral Audio by going to feralaudio.com. And follow me on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yes, I forgot that too. We're in such a festive mood.
Yes.
On Twitter, follow me at Mike Morse Says at twitter.com. And my website is writefunny.net.
Yes, and you can find me, Lisa Lampanelli, wherever the fuck my name is. I don't even have to tell you. If you don't know how to spell it, don't go. But it's Lisa Lampanelli everywhere. Facebook, Twitter, the Instagram. I'm not posting anything except pictures of food that Frank makes. So God bless. Thank you. And good luck to everybody for the end of 2017. See you in 2018 with a new song.
Did you get stuffed? She's the queen of mean, she can't be tamed. Larger than life with a tiny frame. She's raw as hell, she's hot, she's rough. She's Lisa Lampanelli and you just got stuck.